Today's shiur is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Mem Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. The premise of this Mishnah, the premise of today's shiur, is that the Torah, when it speaks about if a person does an Aveira for which there's a Chiyuv Knas, says the words Asher Yarshiun Elokim, which the Gemara Masechta Bava Kamma teaches us that the halacha is the moida b'knas, if somebody is moida that he did an aveira for which there's a chiv knas, potter, he doesn't have to pay the knas. And therefore teaches us the Mishnah. If somebody comes and says he was mefata a girl, and he admitted that he did the aveira, the halacha is mishalom b'oishis b'gam al pi atzmai. The b'oishis b'gam he pays through his own admission, because b'oishis b'gam are compensation, and compensation are paid even when you admitted you did the Aveira, they mishalm knas, but he doesn't pay the knas. Moida b'knas is potter. Very interesting machlokes rishonim. We know, as we have been discussing, that if one is ma'anis, a nara, so there's a chiv knas, which our Mishnah just taught us, moida b'knas is potter. There's a chiv boishes begam, which our Mishnah is clearly teaching us, he's chayiv. And then there's a chiv V'loy siya li'isha, that he has to take her as a wife. And the Mefarshim, the Rishonim already discuss, is this obligation of V'loy siya li'isha a chiv knas, and therefore the halacha will be that he's potter, if he's moed b'knas, or is V'loy siya li'isha not a knas, and even if he admitted that he did the aveira, he would still have to take this woman as his wife. And as I said, it's machlokes rishonim. The Sefer Chinuch clearly indicates that v'loy siya li'isha is not considered a knas. And as the Mefarshim explain the opinion of the Sefer Chinuch, they say that v'loy siya li'isha, the reason the Torah told this man to marry this woman who he violated, is because it's the right thing to do. He violated this girl. She never will now have a difficult time getting married. So the right thing to do is that he has to marry her, even if he was a moida that he did the aveira. And in fact, I saw that the Paiskim take this concept and use this concept to teach us a number of halach lemaisa. Earlier in Perek, we discussed that the smack teaches us that even though the Mishnah, as we learned yesterday in the previous tashir of yesterday, the halach is that even though he's supposed to marry the girl, but let's say the girl is a woman that he's now out of marriage, she's a mamzeres, so then he doesn't marry her. And the smack said, what would be the halach if the person who was ma'anes, the girl, was already married? So there's a cherem de reino gershim, that he's now allowed to take another wife. What would be the halach regarding that person? So the halach is, since he's not allowed to take a second wife, the mitzvah v'loy siya li'isha doesn't apply. Says the smack, even though he doesn't marry her, but he has to do everything in his ability to help her get married, whether it means giving her financial help or any other help, because there's a mitzvah, it's the right thing to do, that if one was ma'anis a girl, v'loy siya li'isha, he should help her get married. Along the same lines, the Tashbatz says that the halacha is that a begeris, if one was ma'anes a begeris, then these halachas don't apply. But still, says the Tashbatz, the right thing to do is to marry her even though she was a begeris, because it's the right thing to do to help her get married. Then the Mefarshim discusses another interesting shaila, and actually connects the first plot of our perek with the last plot of our perek. We learned in the first plot of our perek, the Mishnah taught us that if one was ma'anes a woman to whom it's a chiv krisis, still there's a chiv knas. And then the Gemara asked, that we learned that the Mishnah says in Masechta Makis, there's a chiv malkus. So is there a chiv knas or there's a chiv malkus? So Ula taught us that since there's both a chiv knas and a chiv malkus, the chiv knas supersedes the chiv malkus, and he pays knas and not malkus. What will be the halacha under such circumstances? The person was a moida b'knas, so he's not paying knas, will he then have a chi of malchus or not? Explain the mafarshim. This concept that chi of knas supersedes the chi of malchus doesn't mean that the chi of malchus is abolished. It's there. Just the chi of knas supersedes it. And therefore, if he's a moid of a knas, and there is no chiv to pay knas, so the chiv malchus will kick in, and he's mechuv to pay the malchus. Continues the Mishnah. Hoyim ganachti. If somebody says, I stole, and the halacha is that if somebody steals, he has to pay keren, he has to pay the principal what he stole, he has to pay kefel, as a knas, double, and then the Torah tells us that if he stole a shor, or a seh, axe or a seh, he has to pay abo v'chamisha, four or five times the value of what he stole. Those are all knas. Says the Mishnah, Hoy meganafti, if somebody admits that he stole, Salach is misham za keren al piyatzmai, he has to pay the keren. However, vei misham tashlumi kefil v'tashlumi abo v'chamisha. Asks Rekiva Eger, why is the Mishnah teaching us another example of this concept of moedib knasis potter? Isn't that the same concept that the first case of our Mishnah taught us? Why does the Mishnah have to reteach it? Answers of Rekiva Eger. The difference between these two types of knosses is very significant. Baishis Begam, the chi of Baishis Begam, is unrelated to the chi of knas. Chi of knas is chamishim kesef, Baishis Begam is Baishis Begam. Therefore, we could understand, moedib knas, if he was moedib, the knas party's potter, the Baishis Begam party's chayif. However, says Rekiva Eger, kefil, above a chamisha, are all built on top of the keren. And therefore we would say, perhaps moedib knas doesn't even pay the keren. Or on the other hand, since they're connected, he should have to pay everything. And that's why these two cases are so different, and the Mishnah mentions both cases. The Shita discusses the following situation. Let's say a person did not admit that he stole. Adam, evidence, proved to us that he stole. But after he was caught and proven to be a ganav, let's say he's a Talmud Chacham, so he realizes it's smart for him to be moida that he stole, that he sold or slaughtered the animal, that it should be part of him above a chamisha. Will that be considered a case of moida b'knas or not? Says the Shita, that once the person was not moida in the basic event, the fact that we know he was a ganav, we know without his admission, he no longer will be considered in this circumstances a moed of a knas, that he should be able to be exempt from paying the above a chamisha. Continues the Mishnah. Hey, Mishari is plainly. If somebody comes and says, my shor killed someone else, that the halach is that he has to pay the value of the person that he died, kaifer, a shor is plainly, or my animal killed somebody else's animal, so that's mammon, it's compensation, and therefore I raise a mishalim piyatma, even if he admitted, he has to pay. Hey mishori avdu shaplani, but if somebody says, my shor killed someone else's evik knani, that the halacha, as we learned, is that you always pay shloishim shkolim, you have to pay 30 shkolim, no matter what the value of the victim, the evik knani, was, there the halacha is edem mishalim piyatma, if he admitted, he doesn't pay, that's a knas. Says the Mishnah, Zaklal, this is the rule. Call him Sham Yesa Mashizik, whoever pays more than what he did damage, Enim Sham Piatzmai, he doesn't pay by himself, because that's a knas, and Maidab Knas is Potter. Ask the Gemara, Vnisni Anasti, why does the Mishnah speak about a case where somebody says, Petiti as Bita Shaplani? Why doesn't the Mishnah speak about a case of a nasty Bita Shaplani? And as Tosfos explains the Gemara's question, someone admitting that he violated a girl is admitting to a much graver avera than somebody admitting that he was mafata a girl. So the Mishnah has spoken about that case. The Pnei Yeshua explains the Gemara's question, since we learned earlier in our perek that by ma'anis, not only is there a chiv of boishes begam, there's also a chiv of tsar, whereas by mafata there's only a chiv of boishes begam. So why shouldn't the Mishnah speak about oinus, which includes tsar? The Ritva says that the Gemara's question is that why is the Mishnah only speaking about Petiti? The Mishnah should have spoken both about Onasti and Petiti. Answers the Gemara Lami Bayikama. The way to understand the Mishnah is that of course Onasti he's believed. Loi by a nasty. Certainly when somebody comes in and says that he was ma'anis a girl, loi kapagim la. She didn't do anything wrong. He's not harming her reputation. There the halach is the mishan b'ashis b'gam b'yatzmai. So he has to pay the b'ashis b'gam. Av patisi. When somebody comes in and says that he was mafata a girl, so that means she consented. So by accepting what he says, kapagim la, we're ruining her reputation. So maybe there we shouldn't believe him. Believing him at the expense of hurting this girl's reputation, perhaps we don't. K'mashmon, that we do. Says the Gemara, Masnis n'loy ka'itana. Our Mishnah is not consistent with the following opinion. The Tanya of Shimon Yehuda, Oim Mishim Rav Shimon, Af Boishes Begam En Mishalam Piatzmai. That indeed in the case of the TC, we don't believe him. Because it's hurting her reputation, and he doesn't pay the boishes begam. Like kol himnu, because Chazal did not give this person a monis, she yifkoim bita shaplaini, that he should have the ability to ruin her reputation. Omle Rapapa Abaya. So Rapapa asked Abaya, and what will be the halacha if someone comes in and says patisi, and therefore based on his admission, he's chayiv, boishes begam, and we're saying, Rav Shimon's saying, but we don't believe him, because he has no right to hurt that girl's reputation. But nichalaladida, she's willing to take the bad reputation in order to get the boishes begam. Mai, what's the halacha? Do we say we're only worried about reputation? But if she's not worried about the reputation, we don't have to be worried about the reputation. So tomorrow, maybe she's not worried about dimalay nichalay lavia. Maybe her father is not happy because it affects his reputation. Says the Gemara, Nichla Lavia, Mai. The father also says, I'm willing to accept what he says in order to get the boishes begam, in order and not worry about the reputation. Says the Gemara, Dimalay Nichla Lamnei Mishpacha. Maybe she doesn't care, and her father doesn't care, but there are other family members that do care. Says the Gemara, Nichla Lamnei Mishpacha, Mai. What happens if the family comes and says, we also don't care? Says the Gemara, Yefshe the Lekachad Medinas Hayam. There must be at least one person somewhere, Dimalay Nichla, that perhaps is a family member that is not comfortable with what's happening here, and therefore we don't believe him. And as Mefarshim explained, there's a rule throughout Shas of Ados Baldin Kmei Eidim Domi. If I come and I say, I owe you $100, so the only one that's affected adversely with that statement is me. No one else has anything to lose. So that's where Chazal said, Ados Baldin Kmei Eidim Domi, we believe him. However, as soon as my admission adversely affects anyone else, then there's no longer a concept of Ados Baldin Kmei Eidim Domi, and I'm not believed. In the case of our Gemara, since by him saying this about this girl, there can be some family member that's unhappy with the reputation about his family, and therefore the concept of Ados Baldin Kmei Eidim Domi is not applicable, and he's not to be trusted. It's interesting that I saw that the Yaivitz brings from his father, the Chacham Tzvi, a Shaila that he uses our Gemara to answer. The situation he describes was one where there was a woman, there was a family member who obviously had acted inappropriately and got into trouble, and a sibling, one of his brothers, bailed him out. He bailed him out because he wanted to save the family reputation. Now this sibling goes to his other, this brother goes to his other siblings and say, I want you to share in the money that I had to spend to bail out our brother to protect our family's good name. Can he demand, obviously it's talking a case where they didn't agree up front, can he demand that they participate? Says the Chacham Tzvi, since we just learned in our Gemara that there's a concept the family members could say, we don't worry about the bad reputation. So therefore, the family members could say to him, we're not worried about a reputation, and therefore we're not obligated to have to participate in what you paid. The Gemara Masechta Baba Kama describes the damages that an animal could do. And there are actually three categories. Keren, Shein, Regel. And as the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama goes to great length in explaining, each one of those types of damage have very unique characteristics and actually a very unique dinim. Karen, as the Gemara explains, is Meshunah. It's not the normal thing. It's not the normal type of act that this animal does. The halacha by Karen is there's a difference if the animal is a tam or a muad. A tam means an animal that has not done damage, that has not done Karen three times. A muad is an animal that has done damage three times. The difference between a tam and a muad is that a muad pays, that a tam pays chatzi knas, half the damage, and a muad pays nezek shalom, the whole damage. Shein means that the animal does damage as it's eating. Karen, a regel means that the animal does damage, it tramples on something. Those already are normal acts of the animal. And there, the halacha is there's no difference between tam and muad. Nezek shalom is always paid. Itma, says the Gemara, palganiska, the chatzi nezek that a tam pays by Karen. We have a machloikus. Rapapama palganiska mamayna. It has the category of mammon. It has the category of knas. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is al gemara. If it's mamayna, so if somebody was moida, he'll still be obligated to pay it. On the other hand, if it's knasa, we have the din of our mishnah. Moida b'knas is potter. And the gemara explains each of these opinions. Rapapama palganiska mamayna. Why is it considered mamayna? Because Kasavi, he holds Stam Shvorim La Becheska Shima Kaimi. The average shor is not something that is not an animal that doesn't do damage. And therefore, Badinu the Misham Kulei. Really, if it did damage, the owner should have to pay Nezek Sholim. It's just Rachmanu, the Chasalai, the Torah had Rachmanas on him, the Katilayah Atura, since the animal is not yet a Muad, that they only pay Chatzi Nezek. Rav Huna Bered Rav Shua Oimer, Palganiska Knosso. He holds Palganiska is Knas. Because he holds Stam Shvarim Becheski Shaim Rukaimi. An animal doesn't necessarily do damage. And therefore, Bedin Hu Deloy L'Shalom Klal, therefore, really, if an animal did Karen, and it's still a Tam, it shouldn't have to pay anything. However, Rachmanu Hu can't say it's the Torah who applied a Knas, Keich De Netri L'Turei, in order that he should protect his shark. And I saw from Rav David Pavarsky, he asks a very fundamental question. How could there be a machloikis? What is an animal? Does an animal do damage or doesn't do damage? It's a metzias. Does it or doesn't it? So he explains. Certainly an animal normally does not do damage. That's a fact. The machloikis here in the Gemara is into the why doesn't the animal do damage. The man that holds palganiska knosa holds an animal doesn't do damage because an animal, the regular average animal by nature, is not an animal that does harm. Karen. On the other hand, the man dominant that holds palganiska minor holds that really every animal is prone to doing damage. If it doesn't do damage, it's only because the occasion, the circumstances, have not arisen. And therefore it's considered minor. Simon Hezek, Ma Vehemus Klal, Tanan. And there's a very interesting vart from the Shita Mekubetzis in this Gemara. It's an important vart because it really speaks to the terminology used throughout Shas. The Gemara, many times, asks a question from a Mishnah. Sometimes when the Gemara asks a question from a Mishnah, it prefaces with the word Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah. And sometimes it's prefaced with the word Meisvei. So says the Shita, when is the word Tanan used, and when is the word Meisvei used? Says the Shita, Tanan is used when we're asking from a Mishnah in the Perek in the Gemara that we're learning now. Meisvei is used when we're asking a question from a Mishnah in a different Masechta. We're going to now ask, says the Shita, a question from a Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama Daf Yudal Amar Beis. So he asks, so the Mishnah, the Gemara shouldn't have used the word Tanan. The Gemara should have used the word Meisvei. Furthermore, says the Shita, whenever the Gemara is going to ask a question from Mishnayis, first the Gemara asks a question from the Mishnayis in the Gemara that we're learning now, and then the Gemara goes on to ask questions from Mishnayis and other Masechtas. As we're going to see in Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to ask questions from our Masechta, from our Mishnah that we just learned. So why doesn't the Gemara first ask the questions from our Mishnah before it goes to the Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama? Says the Shita, because really the sugya that we're learning today and maybe Masechta Ksuvah Staf Mem Aleph is really a sugya from Masechta Bava Kamma. And therefore, the word Tanan is appropriate. We learned the Masechta Bava Kamma because we're learning Bava Kamma today. And it says in the Mishnah Masechta Bava Kamma, Tanan HaNezik VaMazik B'Teshlumim. The Nezik and the Mazik share in the payment. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Umandam Apalga Nezik B'Mamayna. According to the opinion of the Chatzin Nezik B'Mamayna, Hayinu D'Shayach Nezik B'Teshlumim. The word Tashlumim is appropriate because it's Mamayna. It's something that they have to pay. El Umandam Apalga Nezik K'Nasa. According to the man that holds the Chatzin Nezik is only Knas, Hashtu D'Lavdi Deko Shokol, he's not really entitled to anything, the Nezik. It's a Knas. So what's the terminology for Tashlumim Isa? What's the word Tashlumim? Answers the Gemara, Anitzucha El Pchas Mevela. The Aloch is that if my Shor the damage to someone else's Shor, and let's say that Shor was originally worth $200, and now the damage it did was $100. And that shor is only worth $100. Chatzi nezek, $50. But we know that from the moment that the victim was damaged, it continues to depreciate. The halacha is the pchas nevela, that depreciation is completely the burden of the nizik. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us there. That the pchas nevela, that damage is the nizik. Says the Gemara, Pchas Nevela, to teach us that din, Tanina, we already learned in another Mishnah, in Masechta Bava Kamma, because the Mishnah teaches us, Teshlumi Nezek, Melamed, Shabailim, Metaplim, B'Nevela, that it's the Nezek's responsibility to take care of the Nevela. Answers the Gemara, Chod V'Tam, Chod V'Mu'ud. We have to have one Mishnah to teach us that the responsibility is the Nezek's by a Tam, and we need another Mishnah to teach us that it's the responsibility of the Nizik by Mu'ud. Why do we need to have two Mishnais to teach us the same concept? The Tzrich. The Yashmin Tam, Mishum Dakati Loyad. This animal is not a Mu'ud. And therefore, it should be the Nizik's responsibility. Av a Mu'ud. If a Mu'ud did damage, where the Mazik should have been watching his animal, the Yad, Emeloy, it should be, the Mazik should also be held responsible for the Pchas Nevela. On the other hand, by a mu'ud, he's anyway paying nezek shalim. So that's why the responsibility for the nevela is the nezek's. Av b'tam, where he's only paying chatzi nezek, ein meloy, that's why tzricha. So Gemara asks a different question. There's another Mishnah Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Tav Zayin. The Mishnah says, Toshma, ma bein tam l'mu'ud. What's the difference between a tam and a mu'ud? The halach is, shetam mishalim chatzi nezek megufoy. The tam pays chatzi nezek and smegufoy. That means, if the chatzi nezek that the tam is responsible to pay is more than the tam is entirely worth, you never pay more than what the animal is worth. Mu'ud, however, mu'ud misham nezek shalom min aliyah. It pays mu'ud nezek shalom, and it's from aliyah. V'loik tani, and the Mishnah, when it mentions the differences between tam and mu'ud, does not say, shatam ein misham api atzmai, that the tam, if the person was moid that did this damage, you don't pay because it's knas. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't make this distinction is a proof that a tam is mammon. And even in a case where the person was moida, that his tam did damage, he still pays because it's not a knas. So as the Gemara, that's not a proof. Because ton of ishayir. The Mishnah didn't mention all the distinctions that there are between tam and mood, but this is indeed one of the distinctions. Tam is a knas. Might have a knas is potter. Ask the Gemara, my shai the high shire. We know that the rule is throughout Shas that if the Mishnah doesn't only leave out one exception. So we're saying that this is an exception that was omitted by that Mishnah. There must be at least one more exception. Says the Gemara, shai chatzi kaifer. It leaves out the distinction by chatzi kaifer. Chatzi kaifer, as we said when we learned our Mishnah, that if an animal kills a person, you pay kaifer. But that's only a mu'ud pays kaifer. A chatzi, a tam, doesn't pay chatzi kaifer. As the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Kamma, because the pasuk says, Baal Ashar Naki. Baal Ashar Naki means that he's innocent from having to pay chatzi kaifer. Says the Gemara, Imishim chatzi kaifer, lav shiuhu. That's not necessarily something that was left out. Because, Hamani, we could explain that Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Damav Tam Sham Chatzi Kaifer. So it is not a difference. And now, as Rashi and Tosfos asks, so the Mishnah should have still said that a tam pays chatzi koifer and a mu'ud pays koifer shalim. So he says that's not something that's left out from the Mishnah. Because once the Mishnah said that a tam pays chatzi nezek and a mu'ud pays nezek shalim, this chatzi and whole is already included. But the point is that Mishnah is not a proof one way or another. So the Mara attempts to bring a proof from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, hey, Mishorius Pliny, if somebody comes in and admits that my shor killed somebody, or Shorish Pliny admits that his shor killed someone else's shor, the halacha is, I raise a mishalim, a piatzmai. He pays based on his own admission. My life, isn't our Mishnah referring to a tam that's paying chatzi nezek? And still we see that even though he admitted his chayif, it must be because it's mammon. Says the Gemara, loy, our Mishnah is referring to a mu'ud. Av b'tam. So now what are we saying that our Mishnah holds? My, what would be the halacha by tam? Ain't a mishalim piatzmai. That if the person admitted himself, he would not be responsible. Ask the Gemara, adatani seifa. So when the Mishnah wanted to make a distinction between mammon and knas, and at the seifa the Mishnah wanted to give an example of knas. And the example was, Avdishal Pliny, that if my shor killed somebody else's Evik Knani, the halacha is enim shanti atzmai, that's a situation of knas. And I don't pay based on my own admission. Nifl, this will be the dog. We should have not have to bring that case. We could have referred to a case where my shor killed someone else's shor and make the following distinction. But medvar mamurim, when is the halacha that I don't pay, that I do pay if I admitted, bemurid, avo tam? But if a tam killed another shor, ain't a mishalim apiatzmai. The fact that the Mishnah didn't make this distinction, isn't that a proof that tam is mammon and he does pay even if he admits? Says Mara, it's not a proof because kol b'mu'ud kamayri. Our entire Mishnah is referring to mu'ud, and as Rashi explains the Gemara, the Mishnah in the Sefer, we have to change the case, the subject from the Reisha. In the Reisha, it's a mu'ud killing a shor. In the Sefer, there's two ways of describing the subject case differently. It could be it's a different victim, as our Mishnah indeed talks about. It was an Evik Knani. Or it could be it was a different perpetrator. It was a tam. Or we could change the ratio and say it wasn't the mu'ud doing the damage, it was a tam. So we're going to have to change the story anyway. Says Rashi, that the Gemara says, if we're going to have to change the story, the Mishnah preferred to remain consistent in the entire Mishnah discussing a tam versus changing who did the and changing the victim, that the victim is an ashar, that the victim is an Evik Knani, versus changing the perpetrator from a mu'ud to a tam. Tashma, so the Gemara attempts to bring a rai from the end of our Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah summarized. Zeklau, kol mishalim yosa mashahizik, whenever you pay more than the damage you did, ein mishalim pi atzmai. You don't pay based on your own admission. What does the Mishnah infer? Ho pochs mashahizik, in a situation where you pay less than the damage you did, vira halocha will be mishalim api atzmai, that you do pay on your own admission. So we have a right, the chatzi nezek, that you're paying less than you admitted, you pay when you admit it, because it must be mammon. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Loi tema hochs mimasha hizik, that if you pay less than the damage your animal did, you don't pay on your own admission. Eleima kosha hizik, whenever kamasha hizik, if you pay as much as the damage you did, that's when mishalma piatzma, you pay on your own, based on your own admission. Ava pachas, but if you pay less, ainim shalom pi atzmai, then the halacha will indeed be that you don't pay based on your own admission. Says the Gemara, if that's the halacha of our Mishnah, then the wording of our Mishnah should have been different. Listening, the wording of our Mishnah should have been zeklal kol shenim shalom kamisha hizik, whenever you don't pay as much as your animal did damage, ainim shalom pi atzmai, then you don't pay on your own admission. Which that wording would imply, mashma pachas, whether you're paying less than the damage you did, chatzi nezek, or whether you're paying mashma yes, or you're paying more. So we see that the fact that the Mishnah did not use this wording, it must be that our Mishnah holds that when you're paying chatzi nezek, it's mammon, and even if you admit it to the sin, you still have to pay. Says the Gemara, tiyufta. So our Mishnah is a clear proof the Chatzi Nezek is Mamayna. However, says the Gemara, Hilchus of the Halach is the Palganiska Knasa. The Chatzi Nezek is a Knasa. Ask the Gemara, to Yufta, to Hilchusa. First we prove from our Mishnah the Chatzi Nezek is Mamin. And then we say the Halach is Chatzi Nezek is Knas. Says Gemara, in. Yes, that's the way to understand the Mishnah. My Tama Mai Toysef. Why was the proof from our Mishnah the Chatzi Nezek is Mamin? Because of, as we just said, because of the wording of the Mishnah. Mishum delok tani kamisha hizik. Because our Mishnah didn't use the words kamisha hizik. Says the Gemara, you know why the Mishnah didn't use that wording? Because lo psikalei. Because there is a case where everybody agrees the chatzi nezek is mamon. Kivin de ikka chatzi nezek tsroiris. The hilchus of gemira that does a loch l'mesh m'sinai that that's mamon. Shemach lo tani. The case of chatzi nezek tsroiris, as described in Masechta Bava Kama, earlier in our shir we said that one of the types of damages a shor does is regel. The animal tramples as it's walking. And there halacha is, as we said, you always pay nezek shalem. But the Gemara Masechta Bava Kama speaks about tsroiris. That let's say as the animal is walking, pebbles and stones fly because of what it's walking, and those pebbles and stones that fly do damage, break somebody's window, does different damage. So there's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that even though it's really regal, we only pay chatzi nezek. But as the Rishonim explain, that chatzi nezek is considered mamon. So here we have a case that's chatzi nezek, you're paying less than the damage that was done, and it's mamon. So our Mishnah specifically did not speak about paying less than the damage you did, because there's a case where it'll only be mamon. Says the Gemara, v'hash to the amrit, pal ganisk knasa. Now that we prove the chatzi nezek is knas, the halacha will be, hai kalba the ochel imri, if a dog ate sheep, or shunra, cat, the ochel tanagoyli ravervi, ate big chickens, mishunahu, as we said earlier in the shir, the characteristic of Karen is that it's abnormal. It's abnormal that a dog should eat a sheep. It's abnormal that a cat should eat a chicken, v'long mekbinim bebavel. So it's knas. And the halacha is that in order for a bezdin to be able to collect knas, it has to be smuchen, it has to have smicha. It's not the smicha that we're familiar with, ordination, for somebody to be a rabbi. Smicha means that there is an unbroken chain that this bezdin has the right to paskin dinei Torah of knas. And the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that the only batei dinim that had this ability were the batei dinim in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, if such a situation comes up, since it's a situation of knas, the Bezdin and Bavel cannot deal with this kind of a situation. Avazutri. However, if one of these animals eat an animal that's smaller than them, that, some Rishonim say it's only a cat. A dog never eats animals. Some say a dog may eat animals that are smaller than them. That's already urchehu. That's considered normal. Umagbinan. And that in Torah can take place even in Chutz Laretz. And as the Mefarshim explained, again, based on the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, actually, since the Batei Dinim in Chutz Laretz aren't smuchim, they shouldn't even have the right to pass on that in Torah. However, the Batei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael did give the Batei Dinim in Chutz Laretz Shlichusai Kav Dinim, is the Lashon in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, to pass on these type of din Torah, where it's a mamon case, wherever, where it's a knas case, they can't pass on it. Continues the Gemara, V'tafas lo mefkirim enal. The halacha is, however, Bezdin and Chutz Laretz can't undertake this din Torah. But if the victim is typhus, grabs from the perpetrator's assets, compensation, the knas, we don't take it away from him. And here we have a very fundamental machloikas rishonim in what does tfisa encompass and what does it mean. Rabbeinu Tam says that even though our Gemara says Tfisa is permitted, and it only means that he could grab the mazik. That means if my dog did damage, so the victim could grab my dog, sell the dog to get some financial remuneration. But to take any of my other assets, that the victim has no right. Rush disagrees. The Rush says the Al Gemara doesn't draw any distinction between what the victim was typhus, and he could be typhus anything. There's a third sheet in the Rishonim that takes the following position. As we learned at the beginning of the shiur, sometimes the knas equals the damages. And sometimes the knas actually is greater than the damage. Kefil, above a chamisha. When our Gemara says that tfis is acceptable, it's only equal to the amount of damage I had. But to be tyfus, to grab more than the damage I had, that's unacceptable. The Mefarshim explained that the basis of the machloikes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh is what is tfisa? The halacha that tfisa works, is that midrabbanon or even midraisa? They say the Rabbeinu Tam holds that's only effective midrabbanon, and therefore he limits the way we could use tfisa. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam holds, Rosh holds that tfisa is midraisa, and since it works midraisa, he gives it a much broader application. Furthermore, says the Gemara, the Omer, equally zimna le'etzisrael, makvinalei. Even though normally the halacha is that if a dentira is to take place, the dentira takes place in the place where the act happened. So if something happened in Bavel, the dentira should take place in Bavel. But however, in a case where it's a dentira that can't take place in Bavel, like our Gemara, where the in Bavel they can't undertake knas dentira, then the halacha is that we could force the perpetrator to go to Eretz Yisrael for the dentira, the loy ozel, and if he refuses to go, misham tinalei, we put him into cherem. Furthermore, says the Gemara, ben kach u ben kach, misham tinalei, we put this person who has such a dog into cherem, deminalei, solek hazekach, you have to remove this perpetrator from your rishus. As Reb Nosson taught us, the Tanya Reb Nosson Omer, menayin shlo yigdal odem kelev rabotach beisai, how do we know that a person should not keep in his possession a wild dog that does this kind of damage? V'lo yamid sulam ru'u abotach beisai, you shouldn't have in your home a ladder that is dangerous, somebody climbs up the ladder, he could hurt himself. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, regarding the chiv of making a gate around one's roof, a person has to be careful that nothing in his property could do damage. The Chayyadah makes an interesting observation. The halacha is that when one builds a gate around his roof, he makes a bracha. He says, that's because I'm doing a positive act of making a gate. However, here where I'm just disposing of this kelev ruah, of this kelev ra, of the sulam ruah, their halach is that I don't make a bracha. The Mefarshim ask a question. If our Gemara, if Rav Nosson is teaching us that one has the obligation to dispose of anything that could do damage, as we learned earlier in our shir, the halach is that what is the Mishnah discussed, what is the halach, the Gemara discussed, what is the halach if one has a mu'ud? How could you ever have a mu'ud? A mu'ud is an animal that does damage. And our Gemara says you have to dispose of an animal that does damage. So Mefarshim explained there's a difference between a shor who's a mu'ud and a kelev that does damage. A shor that does damage, specifically as we learned early in the shir, it's not that abnormal. And therefore, that shor doesn't have to be disposed of. A dog that does damage is completely abnormal and should be disposed of. Moreover, the Mefarshim explained, a shor that does damage, people are aware that it's very possible that an axe will do damage. And therefore, the halach is one can have a shor even at smud, he has to watch it properly. A dog, nobody thinks that a dog would do damage. A person sees that my neighbor has a dog, why would I ever think that that dog is going to hurt me? And therefore, if the dog is the type of dog that does damage, one has to remove it from his rishos. There's one more interesting point I'd like to make, based on what Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky says. We know that the halach is that if two Jews have some sort of a dispute, that they have some sort of an issue with each other, they're supposed to go to Beis Din. However, says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, in a case where Beis Din cannot undertake the Din Torah, then we're allowed to go to the police. Since we're learning in our Gemara that Knas is not something that our Bat Edinim could undertake, the Bat Edinim and Bavel can't undertake a Din Torah of Knas, so if someone has a neighbor, for example, that has a wild dog, it's not a case that Beis Din can undertake, and there the halacha would be that the person who has an issue may go to the police, to the secular authorities. Hanun l'chei l'naris, hanun l'chei l'naris, hanun l'chei l'naris.